First word of this verse is yatana, for punishment. So this is a well-known word in Indian languages such as Bengali or Hindi. Yamayatana, these two words are used together. Punishment of Yamaran. Here it is described that that yamayatana, that is worse than death. Sometimes people suffer so much, they would think, I would prefer to die. Sometimes people are suffering so much pain that they think, let me commit suicide. I saw some nurse, she was having so severe headaches for so many years and couldn't get any cure, so suicide. A nurse, she was suffering such severe headaches for several years and couldn't get any cure, so she committed suicide. She was thinking that death is better than suffering this pain. Of course, death doesn't stop the pain. It means that you have to transfer from one pain to another. Specifically, committing suicide means then you have to suffer the pain of being a ghost. And here the point is given how the Yamadutas, they punish these sinful living beings. Severe punishment. Some religious propagandists, they put much stress on punishment in hell. Believe in God or you'll be punished in hell. Not just believe in God, but you have to believe in our God, not anybody else's God. And if you believe in God, then you can enjoy sense gratification eternally. So they put much stress on fear. Fear God. So understanding of the existence of hell, that is also there in the Bhagavata philosophy. But we don't stress this fear philosophy. That actually I'd like to do all sinful activities, but I have to be careful because otherwise I'll go to hell. But rather in our Krishna conscious preaching, we stress the positive aspect of love of God, the beauty of Krishna, the kindness of Krishna, the unlimited, all-attractive qualities of Krishna. Ananta Kalyana Guna Sampanna. He is described as being possessed of unlimited qualities which are all for the benefit of all living beings. However, it is a fact that if you don't become attracted to Krishna, then this is the result. We should be aware of this, that people are suffering and they are preparing themselves to suffer more and more and more. And we should also be aware. Mrityu sansara vatmaniya shadadhana purusha dharmasyasya parantapa aprapyamang nivartante mrityu sansara vatmani. That if we don't take up Krishna consciousness with full faith in Krishna, then we simply back into the cycle of birth and death. The cycle of birth and death means kabu matte kabu shage narake ba kabu. Sometimes we'll be born on earth, sometimes we'll be born in heaven, and sometimes we'll be born in hell. We should be aware that material life is one of intense suffering. This we should understand from hearing from Shastra and by observing this material world. We have to observe the material world through the eyes of Shastra. Otherwise, the tendency is to be illusioned. Just like during the winter season, we may be thinking, well, this material world is miserable. It's always cold. But then when the summer comes, we may think, well, actually, this material world is very nice. We can go swimming, sunbathing. Maybe they have to go there in Russia. We can go for a nice boat ride on the Moscow River. Very nice, this material world. It is not nice. This is the illusion of Maya. Oh, just you enjoy. 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 Oh, smash. Janam Ritu Jirabhi. Suffer. It's like the giving a little inducement. Come, come. Come, come and enjoy with me. Just like there's that one spider in South America. Black widow. It's called Black Widow. Where the female invites the male, come, come and enjoy with me. Then when she has her desires fulfilled, she eats the male. Material life means suffering. These descriptions, they are not simply imagination. Some people say, I don't believe in hell. Just as if by saying, I don't believe in hell, then it doesn't exist. Why don't you believe? Because such conditions we see even in this world. We know in this Russia, sometimes they had concentration camps. Certainly in Poland, during the Second World War, there was concentration camps like that, Auschwitz. Where the people, they were punished so severely, just like in Yamaloka. Sometimes the people, not getting any food to eat, they'd eat their own stool. And just living, being constantly punished and waiting when the time will come when finally they'll be killed. Living in pain and fear. So even on this planet we see such conditions, so why should we deny that there can be a whole planet with such conditions? And why should we think that in this universe where everything is going on according to order, that where Everything, for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Why should we think that people can perform all sinful activities and not get a reaction? So certainly these hellish planets are there. We should be aware of this. But our thrust of our preaching is not so much believe in this or you go to hell, not like that. But rather to present the positive hope for people. Because practically people are suffering so much anyway now. Everyone is suffering. That illusion may be there that they're enjoying, but very clearly they are suffering. So let us present the positive alternative, Krishna. Instead of concentrating on hell, let us concentrate on discussions of Vaikuntha. Tathāgānam nākyam gamanam api vaṅśi priyasakhi tidānandam jyoti paramapi tadasvādhyam apicha. The situation in Golok Vrindavan is that the talking is singing. People don't walk, they go from place to place by dancing. The sound of Krishna's flute is attractive to everyone there. Everything is pervaded by the spiritual light emanating from Krishna's body. And the center of everyone's attraction is Krishna. Of course, most people, they're far, far from understanding such a conception. Our preaching begins by explaining to people, you're not this body. Very difficult for people to understand this. Because very much attached to this body. But beyond understanding we're not this body, we have to give people a higher hope. This is criticized by atheists such as Marx, that religion is cheating people because it's giving people a hope of a better life in future. What about a better life now? How this information was being misused, he noted that priests, they were teaching the people, you just be good in this life, don't make any trouble, just let us exploit you to the max, and you just believe in God and you'll go to heaven and enjoy later on. Here we have the neo-manicuring club. Maybe we should... anyone wants to do Sankirtan, they can sell the devotees these things for doing your nails. Could be a good Sankirtan line. Could be a good profitable. So Marx, he saw that people were being exploited in the name of religion. But he came to the wrong conclusion that because people are cheating in the name of religion, therefore all religion is bogus. Now similarly, people, they are preaching hell. Believe in us or you'll go to hell. Believe in Jesus or you go to hell forever. And someone else says, believe in Islam or you'll burn in hell forever. Or even believe in Jesus, but you have to believe in Jesus in our church. And someone else says, no, you have to believe in our church. If you believe in that church, you go to hell. So it becomes very confusing. Everyone says, you believe in us or you go to hell forever. Forever, with no chance of ever being delivered. So it's very dangerous. If you make the wrong choice, then you're finished. And there's no way to understand it with any sense or logic, because everyone just says, just believe. So naturally this will not appeal to intelligent people. Intelligent people think, well, God has given me some intelligence, so surely He wants me to exercise that intelligence in understanding what is the correct path to approach Him. And any intelligent person will also think that what kind of God is this who sends you to hell forever with no chance of ever being delivered? Yeah. If we say that God is all merciful, He's so merciful that He throws everybody except the few members of one small church, everybody else goes to hell forever without any chance of ever being redeemed. So merciful. So people who are propagating such ideas, they're actually doing a great disservice to understanding of God. The proper understanding is that yes, there is punishment, but not forever. Okay. What is the use of that? Father punishes his child to correct him. But an envious person, he punishes someone just out of spite, out of nasty feeling. Sure. A demoniac person takes pleasure in inflicting pain on others. So are they trying to say that God is such a person that He inflicts pain? So, one song we used to sing at school, God speaking, for I will smite them ad infinitum, means I will smash them ad infinitum, eternally. Means He may give some punishment, but that is just to rectify it, so that we can come to our right understanding, so that we can understand that this material life is miserable, let me surrender to Krishna. So, Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam Mukta Sangasya Jayati. This is scientific knowledge of God, by understanding which we can be liberated from material life. So let us try to understand this knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam scientifically, clearly. Krishna consciousness is meant for the most intelligent people. It is meant to be understood with the intelligence that God has given to us. Therefore, I'm always recommending to all the devotees, study these books. Distribute books and study the book. Understand what is in these books. Read these books that Srila Prabhupada has given us again and again and again. Don't simply be sentimental. Enter into the understanding of Krishna consciousness through the philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna. This is the literary incarnation of God. And you can get the same benefit from studying Srimad Bhagavatam as if Krishna is standing directly in front of you. Because Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna. And actually you'll get even more benefit. Because if you stand in front of Krishna, you don't understand who he is. But when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, then the knowledge is given to us to understand who is Krishna. Hare Krishna, is there any question? No, by suffering you don't get rid of the seeds of sinful desire. You get free from sinful reactions by suffering them. But the seed of desire for material enjoyment remains within the heart, therefore we go on sinning. Processes such as karma, jnana and yoga, they may suppress the sprouting of the seeds of material desire. But only the practice of devotional service to Krishna destroys the seeds. Ki chit kevilaya bhaktya vasudeva parayana aghandhan vanti katsnena niharameva bhaskara. This is described in the 6th canto of Bhagavatam, that only the practice of pure devotional service destroys the material desires from the root. No, he's not free. Means that those desires, they have become very much suppressed, so much so that they have been overcome. Therefore, a person is liberated. They've been overcome, but the higher desire or the natural desire of the soul to serve Krishna has not been developed. So a living being cannot live without desire. Desire is concomitant with consciousness. Therefore, after some time of being merged in the impersonal Brahman effulgence, those desires again come up and he has to come back to the material world to enjoy them. That is described as avishuddha buddhi. Yeni ravindaksha vimukta maninas trayasta bhavat avishuddha buddhaya. Lord Brahma, he analyzes that those who think themselves liberated but who don't take shelter, who don't develop their devotion to her, they're not properly liberated. They are described as having avishuddha buddhi, means that their intelligence has become purified. Their intelligence is purified, but it's not completely purified. Please.
We know that Srimad Bhagavatam is a literary incarnation of God, but how we can then describe other scriptures?
How can we?
Describe other scriptures as you also in the literary incarnation.
Srimad Bhagavatam has a unique position. All of the Vedas, they are not different from Krishna, as they have emanated from his breathing. Nevertheless, the Srimad Bhagavatam has a unique position. Just as Krishna is all pure, so the Srimad Bhagavatam is all pure. Other scriptures, they may indirectly point us towards God. But the Srimad Bhagavatam directly describes Krishna and pure devotional service. In one sense, everything is non-different from God. But there are gradations also. We are also not different from God in one sense. We are parts and parcels of God. But we are vibhinangsha. We are separated parts and parcels. Whereas the Vishnu Tattva forms, they are shvangsha. They are directly God himself. So all the Vedic literatures, they are meant for understanding God. But Srimad Bhagavatam is most important because directly presents, here is God, Krishna. One question then. It may be. You can't say in every case. That's described here in the text, that the living entity is punished, he's carried along just as the criminal is taken by the constables of the state. So the purpose of the police arresting and punishing someone is that he will come to a better understanding that he shouldn't do this. So in the same way with Yamaraj's punishment. One question here. I'm going to translate that into Russian. Who becomes the Yamadut? What do you have to do to become a Yamadut? What's not how to... So you have to offend the Vaishnavs, then you can become a Yamadut. We don't recommend it. Some other questions?
If one gets the reactions in the present life for his sins in this life, does it mean that he will not suffer in hell for these things?
Well, why do you presume so many things? Why does he presume so many things?
Presume means...
We are under the control of the laws of material nature. We get our suffering as it comes to us. We don't choose it. Some question.
It is said that the only price to get devotional service is a great eagerness, great desire to get it. So how one can change his desires for desires to serve Krishna?
That verse that describes that says that somehow or other, it's very rarely attained, but somehow or other, if you can get that eagerness, get it. Therefore, we have chanting, dancing, prasadam, association with devotees, so many things. Anything which inspires us, take it up. Question here. Now, he may not understand that he was suffering in such a way, but he goes on suffering. Those who are sinful, it's not that all their suffering, generally their suffering is not cleared away just by hellish suffering in hell. They go on suffering, hellish suffering in this life again. So that experience of suffering is there. And when they hear the description from Shastra as given by sadhus, then they can understand that this is the situation of the material world. Or even some people, even just by their own introspection, they can understand. An intelligent person will ask, why am I suffering in this material world? If you're born in an advanced culture, then you'll understand that this suffering is going on life after life. Just like even Kamsa and Hiranyakashipu, they were demons, but because they were born in such a culture where such ideas were promoted, then they knew that we're life after life, we're taking different bodies. Another question.
Can one attain liberation on hellish planes, and can one perform devotional service on hellish planes?
Generally, no. Devotional service can be performed under any time, place, or circumstance. Can. But generally, devotional service is not going on in the hellish plane. Yamaraj, he is performing devotional service. His devotional service is to govern the heaven hellish planet. The story is there in Nrisimha Purana, how one time Narad Muni came to the hellish planets and got everyone to chant the holy names by which they were all liberated from their suffering. So if you're in hell and you start to perform devotional service, then you're going to get delivered from that anyway. But people are in the hellish planets because they have no inclination to perform devotion. And such people, even if given the opportunity to perform devotional service, they're not at all inclined to do it. They'd rather suffer. You see, we're preaching here. We tell people, why live this miserable life working in a factory, smoking, drinking? Even here in this world, we see the devotees are very happy and the non-devotees are living a hellish life. They're suffering, but they don't like to come. That is their bad inclination. All right, one more question.
Why Yamaraj is in association of Yamadutas, who are offenders to Vaishnavas?
He's not exactly associating with them. He's governing them. It's just like Lord Shiva, he is Bhutanath. He's overseeing the ghosts. That doesn't mean he's on the same level as the ghost. Prahlad Maharaj and later on Bali Maharaj were living among the demons. But it doesn't mean that they're of demoniac mentality. That's why Yamaraj was actually very happy when he got cursed and he became Vidur, because he could come to this world and associate with us.